Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because chew rhymes with stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, this is Stu. On Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Mike is out today, got the sniffles and the sneezes. It's that time of year, I guess. Leanna's on the board. Phil's back there doing whatever it is Phil does in his little cave. I don't know. Every now and then I hear some sawing and some banging. Maybe he's building a Frankenstein monster. we're getting in here. It is December, and it feels like December, and I'm a very happy man. Because, you know, you can if you're cold, Leanna, you can always put on something else. But when you're hot, you can only take off so much before they make you register as a sex offender. So cold is always superior to hot when it comes to temperatures. And we have a lot of great things about this area, but for me personally, the worst thing about Mobile and the thing that will make me move out the fastest is a six-month summer. I don't need that. Nobody needs 6 months of summer. So I am happy that fall has finally arrived. And by Mobile standards, I guess this week was winter, but that is not winter. Winter is at least 10 degrees colder than that. But I will take what we can get because I don't want 10 degrees colder. I don't know if the old house can take it. But it's another week here on Sip and Chew, and Facebook is giving us trouble. So we're trying to do the live today, but Facebook changed a whole bunch of things on the website, and now nothing works the way it's supposed to.
Just when you get used to
things.
Yeah,
and in fact, Facebook just crashed. I'm on a brand new computer, so it's not the computer. I think Facebook is having trouble today, which is typical. But going to be an interesting next couple of weeks leading up to the holidays. And I don't know what to tell you. It's just 2020 is a different year. And anything that you consider traditional, we'll throw it out the window. You know,
right.
Your traditions are not important this year. What's important is you figure out how to make memories that may transition into a new tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something you always do, we always like to go out to such and such, and, well, we're probably not going to be able to do it this year, so find something new. Let's not complain about what we can do. Let's figure out what we can. I think that's the best way to approach the holiday season, is to just figure out the best way to have fun and to be with friends and family. And if that means a Zoom call, Heather does it. Her grandmother is in a home where they can't have visitors because, you know, everyone's elderly and has health conditions. So the whole family gets together and does Zoom calls. And I think it's just the cutest thing. And she's able to see her grandbabies up in North Dakota and her grandbabies in Alabama and all her great-great-grandbabies. And it's really neat. And they weren't doing that before COVID. So, you know, with every bad thing, something good comes out of it, and it's time to quit worrying about the bad and see what we could do about making the good happen, because there's a lot of good coming out of this, simply because the American spirit is, oh, things are tough, well, let's figure out a way to make them easier.
Yeah.
You know, that's being a true American there, not complaining about it, but getting out there and seeing, well, what can we do? How can we capitalize off this? You know, how can we help people? How can we start new businesses? And we're in that stage now where that's all we should be concerned with. You know, don't complain about having to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, I don't want to wear one, but I do because that's what we do. If you want to complain about wearing a mask, stay home. You know, if you want to put up a fuss with a business owner about wearing a mask, stay home. You're not supposed to be there. Simple, especially if a business owner has a sign, whether the government's enforcing a mask law or not, the law on a business is whoever owns that business. And if you don't like the way they do it, the solution's easy. Leave. But don't argue with them. I hate seeing these poor servers and hostesses. You know, and most of them are like teenage girls. mm-hmm. having some ornery old dude like me going off about having to wear a mask.
Yeah. And there's nothing.
And the correct thing
to
do is the manager should tell them you're going to jail if you don't leave. You know, there's no room for that. I know they're annoying. Wear them. Don't want to wear them. That's fine. Stay home. Order everything off Amazon. You know, there's no reason to go out and get stuff. You can have pretty much everything delivered now.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to, and the people who have genuine health concerns, you know, I really feel for them. You know, because you got these ornery buckaroos over here that refuse to wear a mask or something like this. And they're loving the fact that they can call Rouse's and have their grocery list put together for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then send someone to pick it up or call a company like Instagram or Instacart.
Right.
And they'll take care of it for you. Is it more expensive? Yes. It should be. You know, everything that we do right now in our economy is based on helping people be lazy. That is the basis of our economy right now.
Yeah.
And that's a luxury. So luxury should cost more.
Well, not only that, even if you weren't, I mean, if you were going to go grocery shop and everything else, it'd cost you gas, it'd cost you time.
Right.
And, you know.
And
so,
also remember that when you get your order, do not complain about what you get. They're giving you the closest thing in the store to what you requested. But just because it's on that website, I can tell you right now, 30 to 40% of what's on the website, the stores don't sell, never have sold. Web designers don't know anything about what grocery store sells, and they don't care. They find a picture that looks like something, they put it on there.
Right.
Because their job is to get a website up and going, not for it to be accurate. So if you wanted a pound and a half of 80% ground chuck, and they send you a pound and three quarters, you have nothing to complain about. I mean, a quarter of a pound difference, something like that. It's not a big deal. So just when you do order, just expect that. And here's something, Leanna, this is going to shock you. Right now in the United States of America, we have a nationwide shortage of something. Chitlins.
Oh.
Chitlins. Because when all this COVID stuff started, all these big producers of meat said, I don't want to pay to feed these pigs another 6 months. I'm just going to kill them all, and these cows. And they slaughtered tens of thousands of pigs and cattle at the beginning of this and just buried them all in a pit.
Right.
Because they didn't want to feed them. They didn't want to pay to keep them alive. And now we ain't got no chitlins. Now, how are you going to have Christmas without chitlins? I love your silence. I did not know that chitlins were a big part of Thanksgiving and Christmas until this year. But it is huge. And you got to have pork maw, too. Do you know what that is?
It's the skin?
The stomach.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh. Just like tripe with beef. But apparently you can't have chitlins without maw, and you can't have maw without chitlins.
Oh.
And
why I don't know
what
maw is.
But, right. We have had families driving over from Pensacola because there are no chitlins in Pensacola. They'll come into the Rouse's in Daphne, and you know the big giant tub that you think would last forever? They're getting those by the case. We had a guy come drive over from Pensacola and get two cases of that. He went home with about 100 pounds of pig chitlins because that's all we had. He would have gotten more. So it's an interesting time of the holiday. And that's why I say you're going to have to let some of these traditions go for a year at least. You know, if turkeys go in supply, cook a duck, cook a ham, cook a chicken. You know, and everybody wants turkey for Thanksgiving. And we went over the menu. It was one of the things served at the first Thanksgiving, but it was a small part. There were more ducks. There were more lobsters. I'd rather have duck for Thanksgiving myself, but I love duck. Oh, a good roasted duck. Oh, my gosh, with a whiskey gravy to go with it. Now, that's what I'm talking about.
I like ham.
Yeah. Ham is good, too, but would not have been at the first Thanksgiving because there were no pigs in America yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were not indigenous. They were brought over from Europe and then got loose. And that's how we ended up with wild hogs here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 1612, they didn't have them yet. Or what few they brought over died quickly. So, and this is something, and you'll see at Easter time. I don't understand anyone that eats ham at Easter. It makes no sense to me. You're celebrating a Jewish event, and they didn't eat pork. So the Easter ham has never made any sense to me. lamb is what you eat for Easter. Mm-hmm. That comes into the whole Americans don't particularly care for lamb thing, though. So they had to find a substitute and one that was cheap. By the time we started doing that, ham was everywhere.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. But I've never understood. 343-0106, if you want to get in on it. We're going to talk with Key Southern Spice at the bottom of the hour. And no telling what we'll get into in the next segment.
It's a great day when I'm in the mood. Cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ain't two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty life.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And we are back to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Just doing the old radio show today. Facebook is not our friend, but we're going to wing it anyway. Had a wonderful meal Friday evening, Leanna. At the end of a long work week for both Heather and I, we met at Squid Ink. They had a new signature cocktail of the week that Heather thought sounded interesting. And I said, well, let's meet after work.
I saw her post a picture.
And we met up there Friday night. And I didn't pay attention to what the cocktail was. She just said she wanted to go and try it. And I said, well, hey, let's meet. Turns out it's the old traditional New Orleans brunch cocktail, milk punch, which is milk and bourbon and nutmeg and cinnamon and just delicious. Mm. And she had two. It was so good. But kind of like a Christmas White Russian, maybe.
Oh, okay.
In that kind of vein.
Kind of like eggnog?
Kind of, but not thick at all. It's the consistency of milk with booze in it.
Huh.
But it is older in this country than eggnog. I mean, the milk punch has been served here for centuries. Eggnog probably came over in the 1800s. You know, most of what we think of as Christmas traditions aren't related to Christianity. And they've been adopted as symbols to keep things going. But, like, most of what we think of as pure Christmas traditions actually didn't exist before Charles Dickens started writing things like A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And our imagery of Santa Claus actually comes from a Coca-Cola commercial in the 1920s, I believe.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, so all of these things were existing holidays before Christianity got involved. In fact, you know, it's a well-known thing. Christ was not born in the month of December. He was born in the spring. The Bible details that out. They were going to pay the taxes for their harvest. Nobody harvests in December, whether it's Alabama or Israel. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Empire, adopted a winter solstice, essentially, a pagan ritual, and said, oh, yeah, you guys are going to miss that now that you're in the Roman Empire, but hey, we got something new for you. We're going to call it Christ's Mass, and we'll celebrate it the same week you did the solstice. So you'll still have your winter thing, and you can bring all the stuff you used to do at solstice, just bring it on up here.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's why it always gets me when people go, oh, Christmas is so commercialized now. Well, it was commercialized from day one. Its job was to sell the product of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring the people who had joined the empire in and kind of melding of the two cultures so that there's fewer clashes. It has become one of my favorite times of the year. It, for me, you know, Easter is more important and should be if you're a Christian, because that's what the whole thing was about. But for Christmas, it's about coming together, families, old friends, reconnecting, even if it's through Zoom or Skype or Facebook. And I just love the feeling this time of year. That Christmas spirit is something, it's almost like a warm blanket you can throw around you.
Yes.
And it helps you remember those that have gone. It helps you, oh my gosh, to see a little baby play now. I remember the first Christmas after my mother passed away, and it was just like something wasn't right, you know, something was a hole. The next Christmas, we had a little baby girl join the family. And it was just, it was a renewing of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you look for this time of year, is not the ones that have gone, but the ones who are coming. And my step niece, great niece. I mean, there's a lot of hyphens we have to put in with my relation with her. But the reality is she's my niece, and I love her. And she never met my mother. She shares no actual DNA with my mother. But I can see my mother in her.
Yeah.
In her smile, because my mother helped raise her mother, you know. And they had a wonderful relationship. And all she's heard is about my mother and what a sweet lady she was. But that little girl also had my father, a big bad sheriff's deputy of 36 years, an Air Force sergeant, wrapped around her little finger.
Oh.
And the last few Christmases he was along, and you know, I was recovering from my accident and I didn't have much strength. I'd go over to visit on Christmas and Mariella would be like, get on the floor with me, get on the floor with me. I'm like, baby, I can get on the floor, but I may not ever get up.
Yeah.
My 80-something-year-old grandfather would get down on the floor and crawl up under the Christmas tree and play with her all day.
Oh.
And just see the two of them together. And that, is to me, that's what makes Christmas Christmas.
Right.
Is that kind of stuff, that interaction, the generations coming together. Because you're only going to have those youngest and those oldest together for a few short years. So enjoy every minute of it. That is the circle of life. The new ones come in, the old ones, they go away, they get the peace that they've been needing. And when Christmas and Thanksgiving, and if you observe Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or any of these other things, that's what's great about this time of year. Let's forget all the negativity. We just had the dumbest presidential election since the last one. The last two are just pretty horrific things for anyone to have to endure. So let's forget all that garbage. Nothing's really changed. Think about it. Nothing's really changed. We had two terrible elections, still essentially the same government. So don't get upset about it. Move on. Politics doesn't drive our country. People drive our country.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get out there with the people and enjoy each other and realize that what we've got up in Washington is a mess and nothing we can individually do can fix it. So what we can do is enjoy each other and love each other. So let's get out there and do that, and do it with some great food. That's the other thing I love about this time of year, Leanna, the food. People try new things.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to do something new for my family this year, and I look forward to it. Every year, I'm like, am I going to buy gifts or am I going to make gifts? And usually that's, you know, dictated by finances.
Right.
But I really, the years where finances say, make a bunch of your salsa and give it away, you know, this year I'm thinking, I might just do that because everyone enjoyed the salsa so much. And, you know, so that's another thing you can do, especially if you're home with the kids during the holidays. You can't go to work because you're in shutdown. Mm-hmm. They're out of school. Sit down, watch a few YouTube videos, and find out how to preserve pears yourself.
Right.
Or apples. Or the citrus is coming in right now, and I'm sure Bill Finch will be talking about it on his show next. This is the time of year for Gulf Coast citrus. Satsumas and clementines all of these things. Find out how to make jelly. Figure out how to make your own marmalade or jam. Or, you know, this for us, limoncello. Yeah, that's easy enough to make. What about satsuma cello?
Mm.
Clementine cello. You know, you can make any of those, and then there's your gifts that you give away. Start this week, get your limoncello, your satsuma cello, whatever you're making going by the week of Christmas, ready to go.
Nice.
And another thing is the fruit infused, like with rum. That takes about 2 weeks to make. You want a sterilized jar that locks hermetically. And it's pretty much cut your fruit up so it looks pretty. Pour your booze in, lock it down, leave it in the refrigerator for 2 years. 2 weeks. Sorry, not 2 years. 2 weeks. And then you've got a wonderful gift because now they can make cocktails with the rum and then just pour that fruit over pie or ice cream and have an adult dessert.
Yummy.
Yeah. And I have done that before in the past, too. And it was funny because one of my sisters had just married a guy while I was living in Nashville, and I hadn't met him. And I asked my mother, I said, what should I give for him? She goes, they like to drink. So I made the fruit-infused rum. My sister loved the fruit on her ice cream. Her husband loved sipping on the rum during the bowl games, mm-hmm. watching Alabama. He was a huge Alabama fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of thing works out. I have always been a fan, and this is me being male, I guess, Leanna, because I had a roommate that thought that I gave the worst gifts and that her father gave the worst gifts. Mm-hmm. Because we gave gifts that were practical. And I remember her railing. Can you believe when I graduated from college, all my father got me was a tool set?
Oh, I'd like that, though.
And I said, is it the one you keep behind the TV? Yeah. So you've had that for 10 years. Yeah. Have you used it? Oh, all the time. Sounds like a pretty good gift to me.
Yes.
And she thought about it. She goes, yeah. Yeah, I guess it was a pretty good gift. But it wasn't jewelry. No. And I was just like, oh, yeah, but you get so much more use out of this tool set, or in my case, culinary stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to get me a new knife? I'm a happy man.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to bling or buzz or play a game for me. I can look at that knife and go, I know what I'm going to butcher with that.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's why we've been bottling up honey. That's what we're going to
do. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't think of a much better gift than that. I would love to get, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I would love to get some honey. It's one of my favorite things to cook with. It's so healthy, and good yes. Lord, it's delicious.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I have found places where I don't care for honey, and it's two places. I don't like a honey barbecue sauce. It just doesn't work. And I don't like my tea sweetened with honey. My iced tea. Hot tea, I can only have sweetened with honey.
Yeah.
Sugar just doesn't cut it. Agave nectar won't. Honey is what goes in herbal tea.
Okay.
And not really a big fan of the herbal tea without the honey. For me, it's just a vessel to get honey inside of
me. Something to warm it up enough to
yeah,
be able to
so
drink
that it'll
it.
Pour instead of slide. But, we went to Squid Ink. I mentioned that yesterday. A break? Oh, now that's what they call a tease. When we come back, we're going to be talking with a wonderful young lady who created Keys Southern Spice when she was in the 8th grade.
Wine's for you to drink wine, mop, mop. Wine's for you to drink wine, mop, mop. Wine's for you to drink wine, mop, mop. Pass that bottle to me.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When the kids are drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spur you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Wine, spur you to drink wine.
Bop, bop. Wine, spur you to drink wine. Once again, this is Stu. Mike is out this week, but you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5, and I am very excited about having our next guest on. I discovered this wonderful seasoning at the World Food Championships in Orange Beach a couple of years called Keys Southern Spice, and I'm like, oh, man, that is really good. A little hit of cinnamon on there. I really like this, and it turns out that it was created by, I believe, an 8th grader at Fairhope Middle School. Carrie, are you on?
I am.
Are you still a middle schooler at Fairhope Middle School?
I'm actually a 9th grader at the high school now.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how old were you when you first came up with this?
I was 8 and a half when I first came up with Keys.
That's where the 8 number came. That's even more impressive. 8 and a half. you're clearly a slow starter. You know, Mozart wrote his first symphony at 5, so you got to pick up the pace a little.
I'm a little behind.
Well, your dad and I have chatted a good deal over the years, especially this week. And I really wanted, you know, Mike and I are doing this thing where we're focusing on just local products leading up into the holidays. And it was about a year ago or maybe 2 years ago that Studio 10 had us on. They want us to do me to do some New Year's food and Mike to do some New Year's wine talk. And I roasted a fresh picnic ham that my only rub was the Keys Southern Spice. And it was the best fresh ham I've ever had in my life. Thanks to you.
Well, you're welcome.
What spawned you to at 8 and a half years old to go, you know what the world needs? A really good seasoning salt.
Well, I really didn't intend on making something I would eventually end up selling. It was supposed to be just some fun in the kitchen, but it ended up being a good product, and so I decided to sell it.
Well, I think you're doing pretty well now. Can you tell people where they can find it?
So, locally, you can find Keys Southern Spice at Piggly Wiggly, Greer's, Mosley's Meat Market, and then Farm Fresh Meat.
And I love both Mosley's and Farm Fresh. Those are great places to go for a guy like me just to walk into Farm Fresh and just step back and look at all the meat everywhere. I just love it. So are you working on any new products, or are you just sitting here basking in the glory of what is Key Southern Spice?
Well, a lot of people have been wanting a lemon pepper seasoning, and so I've been working on that and thinking about what I could do to kind of set my lemon pepper apart from many others. So that's what we're trying to work on right now.
Ah, well, you might want to listen to the next show then, as Bill Finch is going to be talking a little bit at least about all the wonderful citrus we have here on the Gulf Coast, especially this time of year. So maybe that's where you can take it, you know, maybe... You know, a Meyer lemon pepper or something. I could sit down and brainstorm with you for days, but I think you've got this under control.
I've been thinking about it for a long time, so I just want to make sure that when I do it, it's going to be perfect to what I want it to be.
I like that. That is the attention to detail that makes people successful. When they go, that's good enough, there's no success with that. And I like the way you're approaching things, like a professional.
Thank you.
Now, you say you're a freshman at Fairhope High School. Are you in band, choir, any of these things, or do you just pretty much do normal student stuff and then go home and create great seasonings?
I'm in a few clubs at my school, but I don't do any band or sports at the moment.
You know what? There's plenty of time for that, and with COVID going around this year, the sports and the band scene just isn't what it normally is. So I think you're doing okay. Now, do you have a website, I believe, that they can order from? What's that?
I do have a website. My website is mykeysllc.com.
Now, where did you get the name Keys from?
My initials are K-E-Y. And so it actually took a long time for us to come up with the name. At first, we had three or four different names, and then we narrowed it down to Keys Southern Spice.
Well, I like it. It's succinct. It jumps across. The logo is terrific, by the way. And
Thank you. My dad hits me with that.
The way that all three letters are capitalized makes that stand out. And now that I understand that's your initials, it makes a lot of sense. Because there's a lot of Keys something on Facebook, and I was trying to make sure I tagged the right thing, and when I saw the all caps K-E-Y, I'm like, that's the one.
Yes, sir. It's also a registered trademark, so we made sure to do that so we could keep it.
Smart thing. You are not in the bottom half of your class, are you?
No, sir. I'm in one of the top quartiles.
I am not surprised by that at all. And, it's great to see the young people come on and do things like this. I don't know if you know, one of the first guests that Mike and I ever had on this show was a young lady from New Orleans named Eliana, who is known as, or was known as, the Kid Chef. When we had her on, she was 12 years old. She had written 3 cookbooks already.
Oh, my goodness.
About 2016, turn on Chopped on Food Network, and there she is on the Chopped Junior Tournament kicking butt and winning the whole thing. So
yes, sir. I love to watch the kids' ones because I'm like, what if one day I could do that? But then I freak out about it.
What I will do is set up so that you can meet Eliana through Facebook and y'all can become friends. She's in her second year of culinary school now down in Miami. I believe it's the second year.
That would be great.
And her dream, what she did with her money from winning Chopped, was she was going to set up her own line of spices. So
that's really cool.
So I think you two could have something in common. And we were talking earlier in the show about the circle of life and how things keep coming around. 8 years ago when we went on the show, she came on at age 12 and was, you know, the kid that's inspiring other kids. And now she's an adult, just 8 short years later, who can then become like a mentor to you or someone else. And
yes, sir.
I think those relationships are great because you're going to hit 20 or 21 and you're going to turn around and there's going to be some 6-year-old who's now invented a barbecue sauce or something. And maybe you can pass on your knowledge.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And you could pass on your experiences to them. And it's very important to do that, to when you get mentored, to turn around and mentor someone else. So I'm really looking forward to what you're going to do, what Keys Southern Spice is going to do over the next few years. I think it's exciting.
Thank you.
Are you familiar with the folks at Playhouse Spices over here in Mobile? Have you encountered them yet?
I don't think so.
It's a couple that's in Midtown, and they do the most interesting spice blends. You would really dig some of these. They have ingredients, Carrie, that I've never heard of before I saw them on their ingredients list. So, kind of, if you're in a shop, and I think a lot of the stores there in Fairhope are going to have the Playhouse Spices, just turn around and look at the ingredients list on what they're doing, and just kind of let that inspire you. Because I think, I mean, as young as you were, and I'm telling you, Leanna, this is one of my favorite seasonings anywhere. I love keys, especially with pork. I love to do it as a barbecue rub. Because, and you, correct me if I'm wrong, Carrie, you've got cinnamon in that a little bit.
We do.
Yeah, and it is perfect. It's not too much. It's just the right amount. You can pick it up a little bit when you smell it, a little bit when you taste it, but it's not overbearing like she made, you know, sugar cookies into a seasoning salt.
Right.
It's just, I'm not joking, Carrie. I absolutely love the spice, and that's why I wanted to have you on. And the fact that you're a young lady. You are a young lady who is just not afraid of anything from what I can tell, you know, except maybe band and sports. But I wanted to have you on. And again, give the website for us, please.
My website is mykeysllc.com.
All right. And what are your favorite things to prepare with your seasoning? What do you think it lends itself to?
My all-time favorite thing would probably be bacon. I think it's amazing. It brings it to a whole different level of flavor. And then my others would probably be chicken or steak.
Oh, steak. I haven't done it on steak yet. I can see where chicken would go very well, too. And you have an Instagram page as well. Can you give the people the information for that?
My Instagram is Keys7Spice.
All right. And you got a Facebook page as well, and I'm sure it's probably the same thing, Keys Southern Spice?
Yes, sir. It's the same.
All right. Well, Carrie, thank you for being on, and thank you for creating one of my favorite seasoning salts.
No problem.
When you develop your next thing, you don't hesitate. Have your dad shoot me a text message, and we'll have you on to talk about that, because I'm very excited about where you're going with this in life.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for being on, Carrie. Folks, again, that's Keys Southern Spice. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. You can find them on the internet. The interwebs, I think, is the official name now. And, Carrie, to you, I just want to say our traditional salutation, which is provolone.
Sir?
Just say provolone.
Provolone.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carrie. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
What a darling young person, an inspiration to young ladies all across the Gulf Coast, I think. You know, she's making her mark doing something other than, like, cheerleading or stuff like that, which is, you know, if you enjoy cheerleading, there's nothing wrong with it. But a lot of high school, and I think Leanne understands this, is, well, you got to be a cheerleader, or you got to be a football player, or something like that. You know, other people always telling you what you got to do. Be yourself. That's
definitely
what you should do. And just having young people in the world like that gives me hope for the future. She mentioned that it was good on bacon, which brings up the second place that we ate at this week. Heather has this tradition where in her family, where they go to one place to buy their Christmas trees. And it is all the way over in Baldwin County in Fish River.
Yep. I've
and
been
it's
there.
A wonderful place.
Beautiful.
And so since we've been together every year, we drive all the way over to Fish River, and I murder the tree myself by hand. And it was especially important to us to buy from Fish River this year, because when Sally came through, they took a beating.
They did.
And they were able to rescue about 80% of their crop this year. And we were like, we're definitely buying a tree from them this year, unless we get over and they don't have any. Well, Heather loves the Virginia pine because it has the strongest limbs. So that's what we wanted. Apparently, so did everyone else. So we spent a good deal of time finding one that was the right height and looked good, because most of their Virginia pines were gone. But they had a lot of the Fraser firs, the blue, the beautiful trees. The fir trees are just gorgeous, but you can't hardly put anything on them because the limbs are so weak. And we got a lot of stuff to put on ours. Well, I will tell you where we ate at Fish River when we come back from the break. 343-0106.
Uh-oh, uh-oh. I don't like juice. Chicken, chicken, ice cream.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, I have been teasing for two segments now about a place that I ate over the weekend. And I'm going to get to it in just a second, but our friend David Hubble sent some information along, and I want to cover that before the show runs out because this is important stuff. The 14th annual Mary Mart is coming up, and it is at Our Savior Catholic Church at 1801 Cody Road here in Mobile, and it's sponsored by Our Savior Youth Group. The date is Sunday, December 6th.
Today.
That's today. It is from noon to 4 o'clock. And enjoy holiday shopping and fun under one roof. Wow.
Nice. Get it all done.
Yeah, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. They've got a lot of stuff going, including Hubble's Hearth. So David Hubble will be there selling some of his stuff, and he sent me a list. It's going to have cheese straws, the mild ones, sugar cookies, ginger snaps, butter cake mini loaves, chocolate pound cake,
yummy,
and peanut brittle, which is just, I love peanut brittle. But here's the Hubble stuff that you really want, the jellies. Satsuma jelly, pepper jelly, which I've had.
Oh,
lemon
jelly, pepper jelly.
Cranberry jelly. I don't even know what this is. Pinto palm jelly. But now I want some. Bronze muscadine jelly. And pineapple jelly.
Pineapple jelly?
Pineapple jelly. That sounds terrific. Imagine glazing a ham with that.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. So again, that is the 14th annual Mary Mart at Our Savior Catholic Church. 1801 Cody Road here in Mobile. It is today from noon to 4 p.m. So get on by there and get you some interesting things to give people instead of, you know, that Blockbuster gift card you were going to give them.
Yeah, because that's useful.
Yeah. Well, yesterday going to Fish River Tree Farm, I thought, you know, Billy's Old 27 Grill ain't close to nothing, except that Christmas tree farm. So we have made that part of our Christmas ritual now. We're going to stop off at Billy's and have ourselves a burger with some of that Billy's bacon on it and a brew. Heather had the Old 27 yesterday, their house pilsner. I liked it. It was kind of IPA-ish, which I'm not a big IPA guy when they're bitter. But when the hops has a flowery note at the end, I really enjoy that. And that's how the Old 27 was. And then I had the Kentucky Bourbon Aged Ale.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Not the burn of bourbon, but definitely a flavor of bourbon in the ale, which is great. And then, folks, if you haven't had Billy's bacon, I could swear he could put that on a tennis shoe and you'd eat the whole tennis shoe.
Oh, yeah.
But when he puts it on a burger, it's even better. And we started out with the Billy's Bacon Bites. It's a sampler of six, you know, bites of just pork belly with different sauces.
And that sounds good.
There was a sweet sauce, tasted very similar to a Sweet Baby Ray's, which I don't generally like, but in a presentation like that, it was terrific because you had the contrast on the other end, which tasted a lot like Wild Dog barbecue sauce, very spicy, tomatoey, vinegary. And then in the center was a Thai chili sauce. And it was just terrific. Now, I know people that live in Fish River. I wonder if any of the people I know that live in Fish River have ever heard of Billy's Bacon. Maybe we can get somebody to call in from Fish River that knows something about Billy's Bacon.
Do you know
bacon.
Somebody in Fish River?
Hey, John, do you know anybody in Fish River?
I don't know if they're in it, but they live up on the banks.
How you doing, buddy?
Man, so much better than what I have been in the last month. It's unbelievable.
That's good to hear, pal. That's good to hear.
You just don't know. I've been getting this detox thing, and it's really worked for me.
Excellent.
But I want to tell you about something I found.
What'd you find?
Maynard's Treats.
Maynard's Treats.
Yeah, they're made in Daphne. It's made in Daphne. They make a root beer that I have right now and an apple salsa. And it is unbelievably good. I would have never thought apple salsa would be that good on a chip, but oh, man. Another category of sin, I tell you.
Yeah. Now, the root beer, is it a root beer soft drink or a root beer flavored
soft drink? Yeah, root beer soft drink, yeah. Just like Dad's and Frosty. A little bit too sweet, but it's got a strong root beer flavor.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you know,
talking
Abita,
about pineapple
Abita.
Jelly.
Yeah.
I haven't had that in a while. There's a woman over here around Weeks Bay.
I bet there's more than one.
Yeah, and she used to make a pineapple and habanero jelly.
Oh, that's a great combination.
Oh, man, it was so, so good. And a blueberry and habanero jelly.
Ooh.
Golly, there's grow a lot of blueberries down here south of me. And it was so, so good.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, since this this whole Fish River thing is annual with us.
Mm-hmm.
Billy's is probably the best thing I can do inserting a food into that tradition. Or do you have another place you might recommend?
Well, I've got a little kitchen, and a couple of days ago I made up a grilled cheese sandwich with a mild cheddar and a mozzarella. And in the middle of that, I put in some sautéed shrimp.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, the shrimp were sautéed in a little sugar, teriyaki sauce.
Oh, my.
And some chili peppers.
Well, that always helps.
Yeah. So you have a oriental, slightly different flavor when everything comes together.
Right, a little sweet heat going on.
Huh?
I imagine there's a little sweet heat going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's really quite good. I'm thinking about trying that with crab meat, too, now.
Ooh.
So you almost have a, I don't know, would it be a gratin?
Yeah. That's essentially what you're doing is you're doing a seafood gratin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
an all gratin. And putting it in between two slices of bread, which is as American as anything gets.
No, yeah. But I haven't made this teriyaki sugar and chili pepper recipe in, I bet you, 5 or 6 years. And for some reason, it just came to me, back to me a few days ago. And I said, I got to do that again. It was so good on chicken. Golly.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. We just had somebody text into us. Another great place, Big Daddy's on Fish River. Are you familiar with
that? Oh, yeah, that's just around the corner from me.
Oh, okay. That's walking distance? Or I guess at our age, stumbling distance?
I'm not walking anywhere. I got a motorcycle, a pickup truck, and a car. I'm going to ride.
You know, I had a friend that used to say, well, anything's walking distance if you got the time.
Yeah.
I said, really? What about Honolulu?
Or a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. This guy, when we were in high school, didn't have a car, but he needed something from the mall. He walked from Snow Road and Howes Ferry to Bel Air Mall.
Oh.
And he said halfway back, like somewhere around Airport and Cody, a friend of his was riding by and went, hey, isn't that Patrick? And pulled over and picked him up and drove him the rest of the way home. And he said, I had nothing else to do that day. The weather was nice. So I said, well, how long did it take you to get there? He said, about 3.5 hours.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, but he was in good shape. It wasn't a problem for him, and he enjoyed the walk. And I guess over 3.5 hours, you get to see some things on that route you never saw before. But
yeah.
Help me sign us out today, John.
Baba Ganoush, baby, and provolone.
Thank you, my friend. Provolone to everyone out there. Tip your servers. Servers earn your tips. And everybody, be safe.
Or just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow? With a mustard sauce, or